Well, this is Doy and Zach. We're here to try to address some biblical issues that we hope will alleviate some fears and deal with some anxieties. My particular topic is on managing anxieties, and there's a couple of passages I'd like for us to focus on. The first is in Matthew chapter 6. We're looking in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 24 through the end of the chapter, verse 34. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We are living in very difficult times right now, and we're living at a time when we are seeing some sickness and illnesses spread throughout the world in a way that for many of us has simply been unprecedented. And so we thought it would be good to reflect on a couple of passages that help us to understand that God is in control, that we as children of God need to give ourselves over to him in full submission and trust, and not worry as the world does. That does not mean that we're not concerned or we don't care about what's going on. Certainly we do, and we want to demonstrate that. But at the same time, we want to show the world that our true trust is in God and not in ourselves or our money or wealth or power or anything of that nature. So there's a few things from this passage that I'd like to just kind of set as talking points, and Zach and I can discuss these. The first, I want to go back to verse 24 and look at the principle that we need to set our priorities. If we're going to overcome the world, if we're going to overcome the worries and anxieties that this world will give to us, we need to set our priorities. That is, if we're confident in our priorities, then we can gain a better perspective on other things that arise in life. I know what's most important. I cannot serve God and mammon or wealth. I can't serve the world and God in the same kind of capacity. And I would tie that into verse 33, because that gets back to priorities as well. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So there's kind of a bracket of priorities around this particular passage. So gaining perspective, no matter what, make your choice. Know who it is that you serve. That's kind of a basic starting principle here in understanding how we can overcome these anxieties.
Yeah, Doy, I'm thinking about Luke chapter 10, where Jesus has some things to say about anxiety and worry to Martha. Remember in Luke chapter 10, at the end of that chapter, verse 38 says, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And so that's the same word that Jesus uses in Luke chapter 10 that he's using here in Mark chapter 6, where you're saying, Martha, you're focusing on too many things at once. And really the solution is to worry about the one thing that matters. And you mentioned a moment ago about, it's not that we don't have concern about these things. We don't have concern about the coronavirus and that there's some precautions that we can take. But then on the other hand, there's things that we shouldn't worry about. And I would illustrate it like if you're going on vacation, you leave for vacation and you're concerned about your house. And so you make preparations about making sure that your doors are locked. You make sure that your neighbors get their mail. You set your security alarm. You just make sure all those things are taken care of. You have concern about your house. But then say you go on vacation, and the whole time you're on vacation, you're pacing back and forth wherever you are. You're worried and anxious about your house. Well, there's only so much that you can do. There's only so many things that we can do. And worry is really worrying about those things that are beyond our control, that we have absolutely no control over. And I think that's what Jesus is addressing in Matthew 6.
Yeah, and that concept of the good part is significant because Jesus says it's a choice that you make that he wasn't going to take away from Mary. And I don't want to give Martha a bad rap. I mean, she was doing good things, but at the same time, it's possible that we allow ourselves to get too wrapped up in other things that we fail to choose the good part. So set your priorities. The second thing here that I'd like to think about in verse 25, when he says, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Is that we need to understand that life is more than even what we consider to be the necessities. Food and clothing, the basic staples of life, we consider to be vital, but at the same time, an understanding that life is more than that. Even if we just cover the basics and have that, we can be content with those things, but life goes deeper than simply taking care of basic necessities. And we're not talking about adding a bunch of wealth and everything of that nature. We're just talking about understanding that there's more to who you are than feeding and clothing yourself. So those necessities are important, but
absolutely. So you have the physical and the spiritual. And, you know, Jesus is talking about, of course, the physical things here in verse 25 of eating and drinking and what clothes and, you know, what clothes you're going to put on your body. But you're right. You don't separate the two, but that's kind of the foreground is the physical. But we always have to be thinking about what's going on the background, you know, the spiritual and what's really important. And what that focus should be. I think that gets back to the priorities that you talked about just a moment ago from verse 24. When Jesus says in verse 25, "Do not be anxious about your life," when you think about what anxiety is, that word can mean divided. It's where we have so many things that we're anxious and worried about that our mind is so divided that what you were mentioning ago or a moment ago about priorities. And that gets back to Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. So either hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So Jesus is saying you can't have divided loyalties. When it comes to the physical side of life, as important as that is, well, we always remember that the spiritual side is that God is there.
Yeah, Paul even warns against that divided mind in passages like 2 Corinthians 11 when he tells the Corinthians there, he says, "I'm afraid that you've been led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion in Christ. You've been led astray from this in such a way that you have a double mind." And our anxiety certainly can do that to us. So we have to understand life is more than just taking care of basic necessities. The third thing to think about here is that we need to take to heart the fact that how God takes care of nature. In verse 26, look at the birds of the air, look at how God feeds and takes care of them in verses 28 through 30. Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. And not even Solomon could have clothed himself like one of these. One of the great things about nature, and Psalm 19 reminds us, of course, that nature declares, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. We look at the things of this world, the birds of the air, the flowers, and the beauty that God gives. If God can care for these, and Jesus says, you're of much more value. If we know God can take care of this world and the nature of this world, then that helps us understand something about the fact that human beings, as those made in God's image, certainly are going to be part of the care that God will give. God is ultimately in control, and so we need to take to heart how God cares for nature.
Yes, so we start, asking like those what if questions. What if I don't get this? Or what if I get this? Or what if this happens? What if my needs aren't met? Well, I think that's where Jesus starts to go in verse 26, is he starts talking about, nature. He's talking about the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. Well, who takes care of them? Like I said, it's God. That's nature is God's business. It's his economy, and he's in the lily field business, and he's in the bird business. And so you think about what he's saying here is that God's taking care of the birds. He's taking care of the lilies of the fields. Well, if he does that, well, how much more so is he taking care of us? I mean, just this morning, it's March, it's warming up. I did go outside the house and I was out front and messing with the flowers and trying to get some things down so that my flowers will grow. And so I took care of those things this morning. I enjoyed doing that. But that's not to say that I'm not going to make sure that my children, of course, my children are much more important than me making sure my flowers are going to grow in my front yard. And so what Jesus is saying there is that, yeah, here in the background is you have the birds and the lilies of the field. Well, if Jesus or if God is taking care of that, how much more is he going to take care of us? And I wonder how God feels when we worry about these things, because I would say my children are still young, but I would say even yours, they probably never woke up and came in and told you, hey, Dad, I tossed and turned all night long because I didn't know if we were going to have breakfast this morning. If they came in and said that to you, I wonder how we would feel. We might laugh it off, but we might, think, I can't believe you think that way.
Well, that childlike trust, I think, is the very thing Jesus gets at. We've got to have the faith like a child, the trust that God knows what he's doing. And that the providence of God, what we think of as the providence of God, we need to understand is based on the fact that God is all-knowing and he's all-wise and he's all-understanding and he's all-powerful. And if God allows certain things to happen that we don't understand, that's when our trust is tested the most. And we need to have that childlike trust to say, I don't understand this, but God does. And so I'm willing to put my trust in him. Which brings me to the next point in verse 27. Know the limits of anxiety. What has worry ever helped fix? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? He asks. By spending time worrying, all we've done is essentially compounded the problem. I can go over here and punch a hole in the wall and worry about that all day long. Then at the end of the day, there's still a hole in the wall. I haven't fixed it by worrying about that. So there's a perspective there that recognizes that the value of where I spend my time is such that I get nothing out of worrying. And I say that as someone who struggles with worry. I have difficulty sometimes with that. And so, but I've never fixed anything by spending copious amounts of time worrying about that. And Jesus reminds us of how important that perspective is. In verses 31 and 32, I think there's another perspective here that one of the things that differentiates us from the world is our trust in God. That he says even the Gentiles, even the pagans, worried about the things of life, you know, and the Gentiles seek these things. The world seeks these things. Those basic necessities are going to be there, and everybody's going to be concerned about that. But the thing that's going to differentiate us is that we trust God. And especially now, when you're looking at something like a worldwide pandemic, the whole world is focused on taking care of health requirements and needs and basic necessities and all of that. Well, we're going to do that too, but with this crucially added element that we're trusting God and he knows what he's doing. And without that, what's going to make us any different at all?
Yeah. I mean, you think about an unbeliever. I mean, that would be perfectly, to say normal for somebody to act, who is not a Christian, who's an unbeliever, to sit around and pace back and forth and wring their hands and wonder, what are we going to do about this? What's going to happen? What might not happen? Well, you might expect that from someone who's not a Christian. But as you say, we are different. Jesus says the Gentiles seek after these things. You know, we are different. We place our trust and our hope in God. That doesn't mean that we sit back and we're passive, but we have this perspective. And I have Isaiah 26 at verse 3, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We trust that God is in control of this. God is in charge. And that gives us that peace. We'll get ahead of ourselves, but that peace that passes all understanding.
Well, and that again brings us back to the point Jesus makes. You know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we're not doing that, we end up with the divided mind. We don't have the peace. We're constantly worried about what might be happening. So it comes back to those priorities. And then finally, in verse 34, Jesus makes the point, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This principle that we need to deal with each day as it comes. I don't know what's going to happen next week. And if you think back, I mean, we're dealing right now with trying to understand the concept of containment of a virus all over the world. And there's a lot of uncertainty about that. There's a lot about this we don't know. Again, this is uncharted territory for the world right now. And what do we do about that? Well, we could worry about how it's going to be in 2 or 3 weeks. And we're trying to make preparations and plans to cover the future. But at the same time, we might over worry about the way things might be, and it may never get that way. So we need to be careful about the take care of today's issues, take care of today's worries and concerns now, today, and plan for the future. But at the same time, don't be so worried about what may or may not happen. We just have to deal with it as it comes. And, you know, again, we try to make our plans and do what we have to do. We don't want it to get worse tomorrow, but we also have to deal with reality. And that means dealing with things as they are now. So don't go too far ahead of yourself in this, especially when it comes to worry. Know that God has everything in the palm of his hand ultimately, and he has reasons why he allows these things to happen.
Do we think about worry and how much energy it takes when you are worried about something, you're anxious about something? I mean, it can zap your energy. And I just think what Jesus is saying here, he talks about the, you know, the negative things, but now he says, here's the positive. If you want to spend your energy on something, if you want to be concerned about something, be concerned and spend your energy on the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. You place all of your energy in that. It's like you said, I'll take care of the rest. I have everything else under control. You seek first the kingdom of God.
And it's an eternal perspective. It's not just focused on the here and now. It's recognizing that if you really want to be concerned about the future, then be concerned about your eternal future. Now, the second passage I want to consider briefly is Philippians chapter 4. And let me read that, and then we'll just briefly talk about a few things there. But Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." First, the thing that I think about here is the fact that we need to know that true rejoicing and happiness is going to come in the Lord. We spend so much time trying to find happiness in the world. I'll be happy when I get this done, or I'll be happy when I get that, or something to that effect. But the rejoicing and the happiness that comes in the Lord is a constant that is there. It's not based on what we get next. It's based on a relationship that we share with Him. And so that, again, gets back to that priority of seeking first God's kingdom and knowing that our relationship with Him is more important than anything else. And then notice also in that same context how others will see how we respond to difficulties. Rejoice, Lord, always. Again, I say rejoice, he says. And then let your gentle spirit be known to all. Let your reasonableness be known to all. It's vital that we show ourselves to be those who trust God at this time. Vital that we show ourselves to be reasonable and gentle in a world that may be panicking. We can't afford to allow ourselves to get a mindset that is so negative and such that we're really showing that we don't really trust God in these difficult times.
I think the Christian's response is not anxiety. The Christian's response is in verse 6, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And so rather than spending, once again, your energy on worry and anxiety, well, our first response should be to go to God in prayer. And that prayer is thanksgiving. In times like this, there's still plenty of things to be thankful for. Plenty of things that we can list and say that God has done this, God has done this. And still, let our requests be made known to Him. And the peace comes in knowing that He is hearing those prayers. And He will answer those prayers according to His will.
Yeah, I mean, he says in verse 5 that the Lord is near. He's not, way far off somewhere, such that he's not paying attention to us. He's near. And if we draw near, He'll draw near to us even more. And so verse 6 reminds us that we need to replace that worry with prayer. And some people wonder, what can I pray about? Well, let me ask you, what can you worry about? Whatever you can worry about, you can pray about. Yeah. Displace that worry with prayer. And there's also the interesting thing about the prayer here is, I mean, yes, it's with thanksgiving. And that, I think that includes the problems that we face, the worries that we face. But you're also focusing on others as well, prayer and supplication. And so you're making your request be made known to God. You're not just selfishly playing, praying. You're trying to pray for others as well as you're giving thanks. Worry is not God's will for us. I mean, if God directly tells us here, don't do it, and we do it, well, what is that called? Well, we got a problem now. And that's why we need to kind of calm down, refocus our minds on what's most important, understand that, in the end, God has this, and He has a purpose and knows what He's doing with it. And the other thing, just kind of in that same context, the secret of contentment. I mean, you drop down to verse 11. Paul says, "I'm not speaking from want. I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance." Now, let that sink in for just a moment. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. A lot of people kind of misuse verse 13 there, but Paul's pointing out that no matter what the circumstances are, he can do the will of God. No matter what we face in this world, we can do the will of God. God will strengthen us. Christ will strengthen us to do his will when we are committed to doing what's right. So that secret of contentment is bound up in the relationship that we have with him. And so that becomes a vital part of this by the strength that he supplies. Ephesians 6 talks about the same thing. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We can do this because God strengthens us to do it.
So I mean, keep reading. And in verse 19, you want something to calm your anxiety and fears. Verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches. He doesn't run out. According to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He can supply every need and will supply every need of ours.
Yeah, this is one of these, this is one of these chapters that I would very much recommend that people read on a regular basis. Just go back and remind yourself of the power of God, the strength of God, what he will do, and the reasons we have to put our trust in him rather than be so focused on what the world might do to us or what may happen, worry about things that we can't change.
I think we need to say too, as well, to go along with what you just said, it's better to spend time right now in the Word of God than it is to sit and listen to Fox News alerts for the next 24 hours. And I think about verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You know, Zig Ziglar, quit your stinking thinking. Stinking thinking drags us down. And if all we listen to is, and I know we need to listen and have updates, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying if all we listen to is just negative things day in and day out, some have heard me say before, I used to listen to a lot of talk radio and I wondered why I was in a bad mood. Well, I was filling my mind with nothing but negative things. And when you quit listening to all the negativity and you just focus on what verse 8 says about the things of God, that's where it gets back to verse 7, that peace of God.
We want to help ourselves in overcoming anxieties, managing our anxieties. Think properly. Yes, think about the things that are excellent. And in verse 9, be intent on practicing what we know is right. Think about the right things. Practice the right things. The things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, practice these things. The God of peace will be with you. And I would even point out in verse 10, when he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Show your concern for others. So we've got right there this idea that we're thinking on things that are excellent. We're practicing the things that we know are right. We're demonstrating our concern for others. We're not focused selfishly on self. And then again, reminded about the fact that by the strength of Christ, we can do what God wants us to do. And when you begin to put all of these things, there's so much we can say about this. We begin to put all this together and we start asking ourselves, what have we reason to be so fearful of this world? Why would we be so afraid of this world and the things that may happen? Bear in mind that you know, even if the worst happens, you know, I'm reminded of Daniel's friends in Daniel chapter 3. I mean, as they were told, they've got to worship this idol, and they said, well, we're not going to do it because God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to this world. We don't know what God has in mind for what's going to happen in this world. We do know that there's a plan for something that is greater and better than anything else that we have in mind here. And I believe that kind of spills over into what you want to talk about a little bit later. But take an eternal perspective. I think about 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 and Paul making the point there in verse 17 of chapter 4 that our light affliction is but for a moment. And it's amazing to me that Paul could call it a light affliction when he's beaten and shipwrecked. I mean, read 2 Corinthians 11 and you see the kinds of things he went through. But it's because he had a perspective. We look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporary. Things that are not seen are eternal. The persecutions, the trials, the difficulties, even the sicknesses, the illnesses, ultimately are temporary. God will deliver us. And if that deliverance means delivering us out of this present world so that we are with him, as 2 Corinthians 5 talks about, then so be it. But never cave to the things of this world. Always give yourself to devotion to God. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Think on the right things. Replace worry with prayer. These are just basic talking points. But I think at times like this, we need to be reminded how important these matters are. I would strongly urge people to go back and read Matthew 6, Philippians 4. And let me give a couple other passages just as we kind of close out this particular part. 1 Peter chapter 5, in verses 5 through 7, reminds us that we need to clothe ourselves with humility toward one another. For he says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Notice, casting how many? Casting all your anxieties. Why? Because he cares for you. And finally, in Psalm 56, and we could point out many passages here, but I was reading this earlier as well. Psalm 56 and verse 3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? We have reason to trust God. And when times are hard, times are difficult, our trust might be tested. But I remind people of Abraham's trust in God when he faced his biggest test of all in Genesis 22. He trusted God, even to the point where he believed God would raise his son from the dead. And here's the thing. We have the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the evidence of our own resurrection, and we know that someday that's coming. So we're going to end this section right here and give us just a brief preview of what you want to talk about in the second section.
Yeah, we're going to get back to a very basic doctrine that we as Christians live our lives based upon. Okay, there's lots of things right now that we're getting back to the basics on, and I'll mention those in just a few minutes. But we're going to get back to a very basic doctrine that should impact every decision that we make in our life.
All right, so with that, we'll close out this and urge you to take a look at the second video that we have. So thank you, and we'll see you then.